covenant. Plain and simple. Fact. Period. Now one may ask, can God be so demanding? Remember that we would not have a chance at a relationship with God if it wasn't for His love and Him initiating the covenant. We wouldn't have a chance. So, does that give God the right to demand circumcision? Absolutely, it does. He's the one that's doing the covenant. He's the one that's setting up the promise. God does have the right that we enter into His covenant on His terms. Why is that so foreign? I signed a piece of paper the other day. It was a release form. You know what? I had to sign my name on there that if I get hurt or if anything happens or blah, 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 whole legal disclosure that I would not hold them liable.
Right.
There was a covenant that I signed. It was a God, and so if I want to take this class, I have to sign. I have to agree to the terms of covenant. You have a job, and you signed your name to code of ethics on a job, on this or that or whatever. You're the one, and you didn't set the covenant, you didn't set the rules, you didn't set the regulations, did you? No, but you signed your name saying, I agree to be ethical, not to steal from my company, not to lie, cheat on them, blah, 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 blah. Right? It's there. But why is that so difficult for us to understand in our relationship with God? We do it all the time with every other worldly aspect that we deal with. We sign away according to their rules, according to their demands, according to their covenant. And we obey it. No problem, no questions asked. But then when God says, well, how does God have the right to do that? How does God have the right to say that? God has the right to demand those terms. It is important to note here that it is the covenant of circumcision was an outward or in the flesh, but it brought about a spiritual covenant, which was an everlasting covenant, which was made without hands. This covenant is the covenant in which we preach today. Genesis 17 and 13, when it talks about this, in correlation with this setting of Scripture, he that is born of thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. He said, whoever's born in your house, or if you bought a slave, and you brought them into your house, if they are circumcised under your house, under your rule, they have an everlasting covenant with me. Even though they may be a slave. Even though they may be a foreigner. But if they're brought into your house, oh man, this really gets exciting here. When you're brought into this house, and you're circumcised not by the flesh, but by the washing of baptism in the name of Jesus. You all of a sudden have rights that you didn't have before when you weren't circumcised of the heart. This is where we connect those two in verse number 12. Okay, so let's go back to verse number 11. In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting on or putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12 said, buried with him in baptism. Here is your circumcision. You have to be buried in order to be saved. You have to be buried in the name of Jesus. Father, Son, Holy Ghost won't get you there because there's no name in the Father. There's no name in the Son. There's no name in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Titles will not get you anywhere.
Right.
There's just way too many fathers. There's way too many sons. There's way too many of this and way too many of that. You've got baptized in the name that is above every other name
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I don't think so.
Go ahead and get wrapped up in vain philosophy and the rudiments of the world and the traditions of men and so on and so forth. That's all that is. Do you realize that even it was several hundred years before they started baptizing in the Trinity in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and it was brought about by the Roman Catholic Church?
Right.
It was brought about by some man-made religion because the Roman Catholic Church still wanted to have control. They were the ones that brought it about. It was at the Council of Nicaea. But for several hundred years, it wasn't even a formula. It was always in the name of Jesus. But then, there you go. There's that false doctrine, that heresy, working its way in and messing up religion. And some people say, well, what's the big deal? There's a big deal. He said, because he's going to call his church away by his name.
Yes. Right.
You're going to be identified by his name. So you may have whatever for a last name, but if you ain't been buried in the name of Jesus and don't have Jesus applied to your name or your life, you ain't making it.
Right. Sorry.
So, well, I was already baptized. That don't matter if you was baptized or not. There were several people that were baptized by John's baptism. So what baptism were you? Well, I'm baptized in John's baptism. Well, that's good. That was unto repentance. But now you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.
Amen.
So, well, I don't think I need to get rebaptized. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, you haven't been circumcised.
That's right.
Therefore, you cannot take part of the covenant of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot be part of the... You can't take part of the exceeding great and precious promises.
Yep.
You know what a lot of people have, what the problem is? You know what a lot of the problem is? Is their pride keeps them from getting in that water right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Pride keeping me from getting the name of Jesus applied to my life. Pride keeping me from getting the exceeding precious promises of God.
Right.
That's right.
It's just water. Well, then why is it such a big deal? Because it's got to be in the name of Jesus. Hey, if I told you you had to stand on your head in the corner for $1 million for the next 24 hours, you would have somebody duct tape you to the wall. You would do it, and you wouldn't care how foolish it looked.
Yeah, right.
Right? You wouldn't care. You say, go ahead and make fun of me, but here in about, I got 18 more hours, and 18 more hours, I'm a millionaire. Yeah. And then when it got down to an hour, you could have the whole country laughing at you. You say, guess what? In 60 minutes, I'm a millionaire. Now, your head may be this big and full of blood and ready to pop, but you don't be a millionaire. You would suck up every bit of your pride, but getting in the water, baptized in Jesus' name, the name that is above every other name.
Right.
Yes.
The name that says that we are complete in
Him. Yes.
So without the name, that means I'm incomplete.
Yes, right.
Without the name, I'm incomplete. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, so did some of them. They got the Holy Ghost. But there are many people that got the Holy Ghost before they got baptized. But they didn't leave it that way. They said, all right, let's get it done. Because we are complete in Him.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
I know that your brain can only endure as much as your backside. Let me finish this here. on baptism. Let me finish this. Baptism parallels death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It also portrays the death, the burial, of our old sinful nature. I am saying, when I get buried in water and in baptism, I'm saying, die, old man! I'm saying, die, carnal nature!
Yes.
I'm saying, die, lust of the flesh!
Oh.
Die, lust of the eyes!
Oh.
Die, pride of life! That's what I do.
Oh, help me, Lord.
Help.
Die! Help me, Lord.
Bury you.
Help me, Lord.
I'll bury you, you rotten turkey. Remember that our old sinful life is dead and buried, which gives us a powerful motive to resist the temptation of sin. Not completely. Because it does take that conjunction of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to get there yet, but I'm just going to deal with it, getting baptized. But in conjunction with the Holy Ghost, we have the ultimate power. Because now, with the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us, I have strength. And I remind myself, and I remind the enemy, and I remind everybody around me, that there was a day that I buried that old man, that old liar, that old cheater, that old fornicator, that old drug addict. I buried that dude. Get back down there.
That's right.
Throw some more dirt on it. Some of y'all just saw my head pop up out of the grave and you just hit it with a shovel.
Yeah.
And some of you saw whack-a-mole. That's what it feels like to my flesh sometimes, Brother Edmund. I'm playing whack-a-mole. Boom, boom, boom. And my flesh keeps on popping up over here, and then it pops up over there, and then it pops up over here, and it pops up over there. I gotta keep on smacking that thing down.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only thing that keep doing thing that keeps me whacking that mole. Huh? It's the only thing that keeps me, that my arm gets tired every once in a while, because I gotta beat that thing down. Does it freak anybody out here? Anybody ever play whack-a-mole?
Yeah.
Wait, what I'm talking about? Let's see your hand. Make sure I connect with everybody. Man, I'll tell you, my heart gets racing. I get to shaking because I don't know where it's at. There's like six or seven moles that jump pop out. I get to shaking with anxiety because I don't know where it's going to pop up next. Sometimes the way I feel in the spirit. I don't know where my rotten flesh is going to pop up next. It might be on the road. You nice person! Yeah, gotta keep that flesh. But I initially have to bury it. I initially have to cut it off through baptism in Jesus' name. Galatians 3:26 said, "For ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So when you're baptized into Christ, you put on Christ.
Yeah.
Right? Then he goes on in verse number 28, "Neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ," and this is where it ties together, the covenant of Abraham, "when then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So every promise of the Old Testament, New Testament, all of those are mine. I can come. claim them. I can stand upon them. I can take them to God in boldness and courage before the throne of grace and say, every promise in the book is mine because I was circumcised. I obeyed the covenant. I can say, that promise is mine. You don't have that right if you haven't been buried in the name of Jesus. I want the promises. I want the exceeding great promises. Baptism in the name of Jesus is emphatically New Testament circumcision. It is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. Amen. It is crucial to make this distinction. For while those apostles preached that temporal circumcision, and that it was passing away, was declaring spiritual circumcision, and that it was the absolute way of salvation. In closing, Matthew 28:19, very familiar scripture, said, go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. It's miracle.
See there? That's what Jesus said.
I'm going to do what Jesus said. Well, then all of them apostles were absolute ignorant goofball people. Because they didn't obey Jesus not one time. If that is the way you think. But we have another instance. Mark 15:16-15 said, and I say you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth that and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Luke 24:47, same thing. These are synonymous. Listen to me. And that repentance or remission should be remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke's parallel message, he substitutes, if you will, the remission of sins for baptism. Why? Because it's an equivalent term. So we have these three instances in the scripture that tell us what to do, but I love this. It's so awesome. Then we go to the book of Acts. And if you look at your Bible, you'll see it says the Acts of the Apostles. Right. It's the actions of the apostles. It's what they did. It's how they obeyed what he said in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. So now it wasn't just Jesus saying words. It was those that believed on him and put it into action. That's why believing doesn't save you. You have to have action. You have to act upon what you believe.
Amen, right?
And so they believe you've got to be baptized in the name. That's what they believed. And that's why he stood up that day and he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So now he's putting into action what Jesus said. Because it would have sounded funny. Right? Go ye into all nations, baptizing them in my name. It would have been another one of those deals where all of the publicans and all, not publicans, but all of the, what's the other P word? All the Pharisees and all the Sadducees would have had another opportunity just to nail them again. But that's what he was saying. Baptized in my name, because neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. Let's stand. He said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So here we have all of that that Matthew said, that Mark said, that Luke said. All that was there, all that they had written down, was sandwiched right here in the actions of the apostles. When they said, this is how you do it. This is how you get the remission of sins. This is how you get the name. This is how the covenant works. This is spiritual circumcision. Oh, that I had the time to finish this chapter. It's wonderful. And I may finish it tonight just because it's so rich. It's so good. I don't know. I may not. Paul again is refuting. And understand this. The whole purpose of what we've been doing and we've been preaching over and over and over and over again is, what does the Word of God say? You see, because there's not a certain sound in our religious society today. There are so many voices, and even the scripture talks about that, that there's so many voices and none of them are without none of them are without a purpose and a reason. And they're always vying to steal you away from the truth, from the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And again today, saints, people of God, church, again today, if there is a question in your mind as to whether who Jesus is, Paul again describes it to the church at Colossae, who Jesus is. And I understand today it is a revelation. It is an understanding that is heavenly. But there is no other way to be saved. There is no other way to live except through him. Paul, just quickly, he goes in and he starts from right here. He starts into all of the legalism of Judaism and starts to deal with all of that of the traditions of men. And it's phenomenal how many times, even it doesn't matter what religious organization or anything, it's there, it happens, and it's a tragedy. But if we're not careful, we'll depend on the traditions of men. We'll depend on religion. I made that statement to this young lady when I said, you may never ever hear another preacher say this again, but I want you to hear me. And I want you to hear me loud and clear that this is one preacher that absolutely hates religion. Because Jesus hated religion. He never intended for us to be religious.
Right.
He intended for us to have a relationship with him.
Amen.
I wanted to sing this song. My daughter probably doesn't know it. She probably knows it, but she doesn't play it. It's fine. Because it's been something that's stirring on the inside of me yesterday, even today, this morning. And I was singing it for everything that I was worth just about. And the song is the chorus is very simple, and some of you are going to know it right away. I want you to help me sing it. We're going to sing this together because it's got some real solid meaning. I've got Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've got Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life.
If it wasn't for him working on the inside, and this is where Paul did, he got into all of the legalism, all the ritualism of religion. He said, all that stuff that you guys got going on the outside, all the meats, all the drinks, all the holidays, all of this, all of these things, ain't gonna get it done. You gotta have Jesus on the inside. And he'll work on the outside. You see, if it wasn't for him on the inside, my attitude would be totally different. My spirit would be totally different. My actions, the way that I live, the way that I talk, the way that I walk, would be totally different if it wasn't for Jesus on the inside. So let's sing it together. I've got Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've got Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've got Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Let's sing it again. I've got Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've got Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've got Jesus on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, on the inside, he's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside, he's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've got the Holy Ghost on the inside, he's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Are you thankful? I want that change on the outside. But it's got to start from the inside. Let's pray one more time together. Dear Jesus, we love and appreciate you. We thank you, God, for your spirit. Ask your Lord to touch us once again with the Holy Ghost, with the convicting power of your spirit. Lord, that we might be forever changed for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Don't forget tonight, prayer at 5:30. Let's have revival.